anecdote about Gordon Brown. He said he went to speak at a banquet, and the chairman of the banquet said, "Can you speak to 4 to 5 minutes, please?" So he got up. 45 minutes later, he finished and sat down. The chairman was quite cross. He said, "I said, can you speak from 4 to 5 minutes? And he spoke both for 45. Well, this morning, the reason why we got to page 17, I used to only preach up to page about 8. But as the years have gone by, the fonts got bigger. So it won't be any longer. There's just more pages to it because it's bigger writing. Kath's timing me. She says 4 to 5 minutes is enough. 20 minutes Kath wants today. Kath's going to tell me to shut up if I go on too long. If you know, for many years I've read through the book of Proverbs, and I'm sorry to say I've never really understood it. That's not to say I haven't had my favourite verses in Proverbs. In fact, the very first verses I learned as a Christian, I became a Christian when I was about 19, and the very first verses I learned were Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path." So the very first verses I ever learned in the Bible years and years ago were from Proverbs. But I've got to say that the majority of Proverbs I've found always a bit of a mystery. What are these wise sayings about? What's the relevance of them to me? Over the past months, I feel we've been a bit of a journey, a bit of a voyage of discovery, and it's been exciting, challenging to come to understand something. Why has God included these 900 wise sayings in Scripture? What we see now, we've seen over the past weeks, is their wisdom from heaven for living here on earth. And boy, do we need wisdom. We certainly need wisdom in a world where there's so much problems, maze of options we face every day. We need some wisdom. We've been looking at Proverbs on Sunday mornings over several months. And last week, we looked at the book of Proverbs and we looked at an introduction to a character, a comical character called the sluggard. Now, the sluggard's mentioned many times in the book of Proverbs, and I liken the sluggard to this animal, the sloth. Here he is, a picture of him. Now, he's cute. He's quite a cute little animal. You go down to London Zoo and see your sloth. Really quite a humorous animal. He's the slowest animal on earth. He sleeps for about 18 hours a day. And he keeps still for so long that algae actually has time to grow on his fur. Now, the animal theme we started last week is continued this week because the Bible contrasts the sluggard, contrasts this sloth-like man, contrasts him to another animal. Now, the second animal, I'm reminded of a Christmas present I had a number of years ago. Great bringing the Christmas theme in again. A few Christmases ago, a relative bought me a Christmas present from Fortnum & Mason. Something chocolatey. Looked yummy as I unwrapped the present. Nothing unusual about a present of chocolate at Christmas. When I saw it was from Fortnum & Mason, I knew this is going to be nice chocolate. So I opened it, and when I opened it, I was full of anticipation. But as I looked more closely, I started to read what it said. I realized they had unusual centers in the chocolate. They weren't liqueurs. They weren't Brazil nuts. They were, in fact, chocolate-coated giant ants. And it's a variety of leafcutter ants from South America that are edible. And in fact, they're eating these ants, not covered in chocolate, but the ants, the raw ants, as it were, are deep fried and available in cinemas in South America as like popcorn that you can eat. And to describe what they taste like, you go through the smooth Fortnum & Mason delicious chocolate outside, you get through to something a bit crunchy and a bit salty, and you kind of feel, does that feeler get stuck in my teeth as you kind of crunch through? Now, actually, I was very grateful because I later found that Fortnum & Mason were actually selling also chocolate-covered scorpions and dried tarantulas, so I was glad of my ants. We're going to look this week at the ants, and because the proverb tells us to look at the ant, so we're going to take the advice in Scripture. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that your word is alive, it's living, it's powerful, it's active. Father, today we want to humble ourselves before your word and ask, would you speak? Oh God, would you speak into our lives in ways that are fresh and relevant to each one of us? Father, thank you that you've written Proverbs, these 900 sayings, you've written them as wisdom from heaven for us living on earth. Would you help us to grasp some of your wisdom today for the practical choices and options we face in our lives? Amen. One family holiday years ago, I was still living with my parents a long, long time ago, and my sister at that time was studying A-level biology. Now, her summer project was to collect and classify a group of insects called Hymenoptera, and that includes bees and wasps. So my memories of the summer of 1975 was it was hot, and we spent a lot of that summer chasing around wasps and bees. So she got the whole family involved with this project of collecting them, etherizing them, classifying them, mounting them. We had this big display of bees and wasps. And you know when it is when a wasp gets into the house and they just seem to be bothering and pestering you. And sometimes, I don't know if you've been stung by a wasp, but sometimes it just seems like they're intent on chasing you and maybe even stinging you. That summer, I turned the tables on the wasps. I had a jar in one hand, a bottle of ether in the other, and I was after those wasps. It's funny, those little creatures, they seem to sense the fact that you're after them. And they cleared out the house. Perhaps they smelt the ether. They were not hanging around. And my fears of bees and wasps evaporated that year. Rather than me run away from them, I was after those bees and wasps. Now, Hymenoptera is a classification of insects that includes the ant. Do you know that ants are remarkable creatures? And if you think that a bee or wasp is smart, actually, the ant has the largest brain of any insect relative to its size. Ants are actually quite smart. Scripture tells us that there's something remarkable about these tiny creatures. This is what it says in Proverbs 6, verse 6. It says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." It's saying this, the antidote to what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the sluggard. It says, if you're a sluggard, go and look at the ant. Because I want you to consider its ways and be wise. See, last week we looked at this character in Proverbs called the sluggard. He appeared many times. We examined his character. And there are lots of occasions where this sluggard is discussed in the book of Proverbs. We saw he was a procrastinator, putting things off that he should start to do, and that he didn't finish things that he had started. We also saw that the sluggard was someone who made excuses for not doing the things that he should be doing. And finally, we saw that the sluggard was someone, he was lazy. And to be honest, I have to see in my own character, I see some elements of the sluggard. But Proverbs doesn't show us whether something wrong in my life, just leave it there. Actually, it goes on to give us counsel about what to do about those elements of character. And this is the advice. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So this week, the simple, almost simplistic instruction is this, is go and look at the ant. Because if you look at the ant, there's something to learn. Now, something in us might be offended with the suggestion that we could learn something from this most simple of insects. Yet could it be that God, who delights in the humble and opposes the proud, has given us such advice for the very reason that only the humble would contemplate taking this scripture seriously? Now, biologically, the ant has been incredibly successful at world domination. If you think humanity's done a good in covering the planet, pause for a moment, because this tiny creature has some remarkable achievements. It has set up colonies on every continent of the world, bar Antarctica. In fact, they've been so successful that if you could somehow weigh every animal and insect in the world, a quarter of that mass, that biomass, are ants. And if you could somehow get a kind of weighing scales, a balance, where you put on one side the 700,000 sorry, the 7,000 million humans on one side, it would roughly balance with the mass of all the ants in the world. That is a lot of ants. That is a lot of ants. The ants have been very successful in what they've been doing. They've adapted and mastered incredible varieties of habitat. But according to Scripture, what is it there is to learn from this amazing little creature? Well, Proverbs 6 says, go to the ant. In other words, go and look at the ant. Go and look at how this thing lives. Consider her waves. What does she do? And be wise. Get some wisdom. God's imparted wisdom to this little creature. And I believe he's ready to impart wisdom to us if we will humble ourselves and say, God, would you teach me? God, would you show me? And this morning, there are six things that we're going to look at. Six pieces of wisdom that I believe that we could learn from this little creature. Firstly, we can learn from the ant about responsibility, because the ant works without being supervised. Proverbs 6, verse 6, 7, and 8 says this, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no chief or overseer or ruler, provides her food in the summer and gathers her supplies in the harvest. In other words, that this ant goes about doing its job, and actually, when it goes about, it doesn't have anyone who's telling it what to do. If you look at a colony of ants, one of the most things that's most striking about ants is that each ant is very active, excuse me, and purposeful. It's like, what happens is someone, it's like someone's given the ant responsibility. It's like, if you look at ants, they're not just sitting there. They're with their legs crossed, six legs crossed, waiting to be told what to do or dished out the jobs. It's not as though the queen ant is there in the mornings and they're lining up saying, you can do this and you can do this and you can do this. Actually, it is a hive, or should I say colony, it's a colony of activity, because each ant is active. Each ant is getting on with what it knows it should be doing. The remarkable thing about ant colonies is there are no supervisors. Is actually, it's not something, it's not some hierarchy of structure where jobs are dished out and people get on. Actually, each ant has a responsibility and they just get on and do it without anyone watching them, looking over them, cracking the whip, making them get on with it. When I was 16 years old, my first job when I was 16 was working in engineering works. My job was sweeping the floor. And so I was sweeping up the swarf from this engineering works, and me and another guy were doing this job. And do you know what? To my shame and embarrassment, whenever the boss wasn't watching, me and this other guy were up to all kinds of pranks. As soon as we were out of view in another part of the factory, I would be messing around and taking it easy and slacking. As soon as he turned up, oh yes, we're there, head down. Because we needed supervision. We needed watching over. We needed the whip cracking. Otherwise, we were slackers. Just those that were just looking to get by without doing anything. See, ants aren't like me. The amazing thing about ants is they do not wait around being told what to do. They don't need encouraging. They don't need exhorting. They don't need someone holding their hand. They don't need someone guiding them. They simply have a responsibility and they get on and do it. Ants are self-motivated. And whatever work they've been given to do, they just get on and do it and work hard. So the first thing we can learn from the ant is God has made us to work and he's made us to work hard. We need work, whatever channel of work that takes in the different season of our life, work is very important. When God made the first man, the first thing God did once he made the man is he gave him some work to do. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The first thing was work. Apostle Paul tells us what part of becoming a Christian is stop slacking and start working. Ephesians 4 verse 28, it says, he who has been stealing must stop stealing, steal no longer, but they've got to work, doing something useful with their hands so they can have something useful to share. Now your work, this season of your life, this work could be in the office, this work could be in the building site, it could be raising children, it could be as a homemaker, it could be studying, it could be volunteering. Whatever season of life you're in, you have a responsibility. One way to look at work is its responsibility. What responsibilities do you have now in this season of your life? That is your work. God's given it you to do and to work hard. Not because someone's leaning over your shoulder saying, oh, what about that and get on with this. Not even because I think God's watching, but actually it's my responsibility to give myself, like an ant, to give myself to the work that God's given me to do, whatever that responsibility is. I want to encourage us this morning, because I was aware that sometimes I've complained to God. I said, well, God, it's hard, and look at people around me, or I've complained about things. Rather than thinking, God, you've given me this responsibility, I'm going to get on and do it. I said, what about them? They're not encouraging me. What about the people I'm trying to reach out to, or the people I'm working with? They're not working very hard. And so I can complain and whinge and moan about other people rather than see, actually, God has given me this responsibility, whatever that responsibility is, to give myself to that responsibility. And without supervision, without someone leaning over my shoulder, without someone prodding me or encouraging me or guiding me, get on and do it. I want to say this morning that whatever now, in this now time of your life, that God has responsibility God's given you to do, can I encourage you to get on and do it? That's the first lesson from the ant. Second lesson from the ant is about opportunity. See, the ant recognized that life is in seasons. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways. It has no commander, overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provision in summer, gathers its food in the harvest. It knows that you can only work in the summer and then the autumn and then the winter. You can't. If you're an ant, you can't work. It's too cold. And so they have to get enough supplies in during the summer, because during the winter they're not going to be able to do what they need to do if the colony is going to survive. The two occasions that the ants mentioned in Proverbs, and the second one is in Proverbs 30, 24 and 25. Again, it's about seasons. That's what it says. Proverbs 30, 24. Four things on earth are small, yet they're extremely wise. Ants are creatures with little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. See, the ant has a clear purpose to work hard in the summer, store up in preparation for the winter, because the ant knows it will not always be summer. The ants live in the present, but with the future in mind. See, the Bible often warns us that life is brief. Be mindful of the season that you're in. Because like the ant, we too live our lives in seasons. Childhood has its opportunities, but it's short and it closes. Youth has its opportunities. It's short and it passes on. Young adulthood has its opportunities. It's short and it stops. Middle life has its opportunities. It's short and it ends. An older age has its opportunities. That is short and it comes to its final climax. So the opportunities in every season of your life. The season that you're in now, you must be in one of those. One of those seasons. Whatever season that you're in, there are opportunities. They're open now, but they will close and the season will pass on. When my boys were in primary school, that there was opportunity, because some days I took my boys to school. So I'd take my boys to school, and so I'd be in the playground, be able to talk to other parents, be able to befriend them, try and reach out to them, try and touch their lives, try and bring the love of Jesus to those people. It was an opportunity. The day they went to secondary school, that door closed. That's finished. You don't take secondary school children to school. Because everyone laughs at them, so they go on their own. You don't mean that, but you have no clue who the parents are. It was an opportunity that was there, and the opportunity closed. And life is like that. Life is that we live in seasons. There's a season you're in now, and there will come a day. It could be today's the day. It could be next week. It could be next year. This season of your life will close. But there's opportunity, and the opportunity is open now. Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16, a great door for effective work has opened to me. See, something, he was in a season of his life where an opportunity opened up. And he says it's a wonderful opportunity. And he knew about seasons. He knew he had to make the most of that opportunity, because one thing he knew, the door had opened and the door will close. There is an opportunity and that opportunity will pass. That's life. That's what we can learn from the ants. That's why it's important to look at the ant and realize this is how it is. There's no point being sad over it, because that is the nature of life. See, it's possible to be lamenting, living in the past, the opportunities that are closed. Oh, I wish if I'd done more, it was such a good time. It would have been great. I had such a good time then. It was so fantastic. But that opportunity is closed. The door is closed. A new season has opened up. Or we could live in the future, dreaming of better times. In the future, it's going to be great. The kids are going to be growing up. I'm going to have a better job. I'm going to be retired. I used to dream about retirement. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm retired. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all these things. Actually, that's a future time. It's a future season. But now there are opportunities that are open. And if I don't seize those opportunities, I will miss them. And then the door will close and it'll be something else. And I can't go back. So if one thing we can learn from the ant is there are some things opening up for you right now. There are some opportunities that are opening up right now. We've got to be like the ant, prepared and ready for those opportunities. So I want to encourage you and stir you up. Not to look to the past, not to be wishing about the future, but today, this season, what opportunities are opening up today for you right now? Ephesians 5 verse 16. Love this verse. Look what Paul's saying. He's saying, make the most of every opportunity. When a season opens up, when an opportunity presents itself, make the most of it, because it will pass and the door will close. Third thing we can learn from the ant is about calling. The thing about ants that's quite remarkable is each ant is born to a particular job to do. They've been given a job to do. They're born to it. Just as we're called by God to do different things in the body of Christ, they were born to do four different main jobs. There's worker ants, soldier ants, queen ants, and male breeding ants. The worker ants, their job is to repair the nest, take out the rubbish, tend the young, and forage for food. Queen ants, their job is to reproduce. Male breeding ants, well, they're fairly obvious. Soldier ants, their job is to protect the nest. And so they're born into with a particular calling, a particular job they've just got to get on and do. There's no good that the male breeding ants want to be like the soldier ants. They've got a job to do. The soldier ants have got a different job to do from the foraging working ants. They've got jobs to do. They've just got to get on with it. Some soldier ants, there's a species of soldier ants that actually has adapted to its environment, and it's got quite a ridiculous, as you can have a picture just to, now this is the soldier ant. And that shape on its head is in fact a door. And it's adapted and evolved over time to grow a door on its head. So that when all the rest of the ants get into the nest, the doorway in the nest is just shaped like that, so he can pop himself in and his head seals the door. And so that's his job in life. He's a doorkeeper. He carries around, must feel really stupid about this, he carries a door on his head, and that's his job. His job is to be the door. And so, but it's a fantastic job and a very important job, and without it, the rest of the ants, of course, wouldn't be safe. It's a female ant, actually, but there's nothing... Different callings, different roles. You know, I've caught myself from time to time. I've caught myself wishing I was someone else. Wouldn't it be great to be that person or like that person? Wouldn't it be great to living in that place or living in that town or doing that? Wouldn't it be great as a plane goes overhead? Oh, wouldn't it be lovely to be flying to Marbella or wherever, whatever it is? Wouldn't it be fantastic? I've caught myself thinking, I'd really like to be someone else doing something in, doing a different kind of job. I've been jealous of other people's calling in the church, what they're doing, what God's doing in their life. Really, it's daydreaming. To be honest, it's daydreaming. To be honest, it's not realizing that God's called me, thankfully not with a door on my head, but God's called me to a job. And each of us are different. And in that colony of ants, there's only a few door stoppers like that. The rest of them are different. And God calls us to different calling. And so as we look across, there are different people here today. We're all different. And God calls us to do different things. And it's not to look at others and think, I wish I was like her, I wish I was like him. But to get on with what God's called me to. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We look around our circumstances and think, I wish this could change. That's not so good. I want that to change. Actually, God said, give thanks. Give thanks to God that in all circumstances, this is God's will. Sometimes we can spend ages trying to find God's will. God, what is your will? I'm not sure what your will is in this. Actually, God, he tells us what his will is. His will is to give thanks. We say, God, thank you. Thank you. You've made me like I am. Thank you. You've given me these gifts and these opportunities and this calling. God, I want to walk in that. I want to live in that. Would you help me? See, God's call is different. We all have different jobs. And the whole community of ants only works because each ant does its job. If the door-stopping ant says, oh, I'm out of here. I didn't want to be a door-stopper anyway. what would happen to the rest of the colony? Fourth thing we can learn from ants is about perseverance. Do you know the life expectancy of an ant is about 45 days? 45 days. An ant has got 45 days to make an impact on the world. Some of them lives to 60 days. The OAPs, those that draw a pension, manage to get to 60 days. But imagine that. If you live to 45 years, 60 years, these are days we're talking about. An ant is born, and then they're little ants, and then they grow up and they're adult working ants, and then they've got just 45 days to make their mark on the world. But they, from the moment they start, they're going. An ant doesn't stop to think, hang on, I'm only little, I've only got 45 days, what can I do? Look at the ant pokes its head out of its nest, sees an elephant, thinks, well, goodness me, look at that elephant. The elephant can, what can it do? Oh, I can't do anything, there's no point in me even starting. I might as well just go back in my nest and forget about it. A few days over, I'll be dead anyway. The ant gets to work and accomplishes amazing things. The Bible encourages us, Zechariah 4:10, don't despise the day of small things. You think, well, I'm only doing this, I'm only doing that. Don't despise whatever there is to do, whatever God gives you in your sphere of influence, opportunities. Think, well, God, I want bigger opportunities. Well, of course, be faithful with the small opportunities that you've got. Prove your character. Work with the opportunities that are around, and God will open up other opportunities for us. Do you know an ant can lift up above its head up to 40 times its own weight? It's like me carrying a car. Here's these leaf cutter ants here holding huge, hefty leaves above their head. Imagine me being able to lift. They're strong, these things. Ants are incredibly strong. And God wants us with his strength. Sometimes I think, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I just can't. Actually, with God's strength, if I can receive his strengthening, if I can allow his strength to get hold of me and fill me, I can. I can do things in his name and for his glory with his strength. If you've ever tried to get rid of an ant's nest, you know it's not an easy business. I've tried running over with a lawnmower. I've tried sticking a hose pipe on an ant's nest. And actually, they kind of dust themselves off and sort of shake their heads in the water and then just carry on and repair what you've just busted up. They don't quit. There's something about ants that they persevere. Whatever you try and do to block them, they will persevere. And it can be very annoying if you're trying to get rid of them coming into your house. If you block the path of an ant, they will go round it, they will go over it, they will go under it. If they can't do that, then what they'll do is they'll try and move it. If they can't move it, they'll go and get their mates, and a group of ants will come and try and move it. They're extremely resourceful ants. They keep trying. God doesn't want us to be put off by the obstacles. There are obstacles we face, very real obstacles that sometimes we have to go over, under, around, or try and get out of the way, or with the help of other believers to be able to move it. But one of the key words to describe our Christian walk, it's perseverance. God wants you and I to be perseverant like ants. Go to the ant, consider its ways, and be wise. Fifthly, we can learn from the ant about loving each other, about sacrifice. Ants are amazing at cooperating with each other. It's great when we have a church lunch. We have a church lunch. Everyone brings the best food they can. What can you make? You can make a curry. You can make a cake. Everyone brings some lovely food and we all share it. And it's wonderful. Now, ants have taken sharing their food one step further. Ants have got two stomachs. One stomach's for their food. One stomach they take the food in that they later give to other ants. And that's perhaps a bit too far in the sharing. That's sharing to a whole new level. But not only that, they sacrifice for each other. They're willing, ants are willing to sacrifice for one another in an incredible way. There's a species of ant in Brazil. It lives in the desert, in a sort of sandy desert area. And this particular species of ants, what it does is every night it has to seal the ant colony up. So otherwise the predators can get in, the cold night can get in, and so they have to seal the ant's nest, the entrance to the ant's nest. And so what they do is some of those ants elect to stay outside and seal the nest from the outside. Those that do that are going to die that night. So some of the ants every night will die. They give their lives for the benefit of the other ants that are safe inside. So some biologists did some thing research on this, thinking perhaps it's the kind of the lazy ants or the old ants or those ants that kind of perhaps it's like a kind of a rush to try and get back in the nest, and they're all fighting with each other, and the weak ones get left outside and they just have to close the door. So they did some research. They studied this group of ants, and they found that actually it's not like that at all. That some ants elect every night, they choose to stay out and be the ones that close the nest, and so they heap the sand over the top of the nest, close it up, and that's it. And so as far as those ants that are on the outside, they have benefited the colony, but for themselves, they're going to die that night. What an incredible picture, isn't it? Incredible picture of what God's called us to in terms of serving each other, blessing each other, living for each other. God's called us to look what it says in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your personal interests, but also for the interests of the others. See, ants are an inspiration to us, actually, to bless and to serve each other. Finally, we can learn from the ant about needing each other in the body of Christ. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up one morning, opened the curtains, and I was watching this solitary ant. There was this little ant outside, and it was kind of, you know, just sort of going backwards and forwards, little foraging ant. It was early in the morning, and it was quite slow, because they hadn't kind of got going much. The thing just seemed to be wandering around. I mean, obviously, it was just sort of just wandering around first thing in the morning. I thought, sometimes I can feel my life's like that I'm just sort of aimlessly wandering around. But the reality is that ant is part of a much larger colony. A few years ago, we had a colony of ants made an ant's nest in our living room, just underneath the tiles in the living room. And we noticed the odd few ants kind of scurrying about, not thought much of it. And then one day when Nick came to visit, Nick was sat on our sofa. And as we were talking, these big black flying ants started landing on him. I think it was one of his gorgeous shirts that just attracted them. But as we were talking, more and more of these big black flying ants started landing on Nick. I got a bit embarrassed, you know, if you kind of don't like creepy crawlers in your house, do you? And this more and more came, and then they started, and they came from behind the sofa. And it was the one day of the year when the male ants all take to wing to go and find another colony. And so we were the colony, and in our house. They all just came out. One ant is no big deal, but a colony we've got to take seriously. And it wasn't easy to get rid of those ants. See, ants succeed by cooperating with each other. I've got some, look at this, a lovely little picture of these ants. They're taking that stick across the gap. Listen to the words of a biologist. This is a biologist speaking about ant behavior. On their own, each ant behavior is relatively useless. But when the ants come together, the patterns optimize naturally and allow them to accomplish tasks that should be far beyond their reach. To the outside observer, their self-organizing efforts seem to be directed by a larger force or some collective intelligence. Theirs is a society that is truly more than the sum of the parts. What a wonderful description of church. What a wonderful description of God's invention of church. That actually, as individuals, I think, what can I do? What can I do? But actually, together, something about being together which is very significant and very powerful. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. You are Christ's body, and individually you're members of it. That together we form Christ's body, but individually there's parts to play. I know yesterday, a number of us were at Wembley Stadium yesterday, and there were tens of thousands of Christians from all denominations, all together, praying, worshipping. And there's amazing stories of what God's church is doing all over the place. Incredibly encouraging. And even here this morning, that we're part of that. We're a small part of the body of Christ. And God's called us us together. We need each other. Because if we're going to be able to do what God's called us to do here in London, then we need each other. I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. We've each got a part to play, but it's together. It's something about being together that God will use us to touch North London. So I want to encourage you this morning to see yourself as Paul says here, we're Christ's body and individually members of it. God has a purpose. God has a plan. You and I both have a part to play. And we can come this morning and say, God, would you show me? Would you open my eyes? Would you help me that I could play the part? Whatever part it is, God, would you use me for your purpose, your ways, to achieve what you want to do here in North London? Let's close our eyes. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that the wisdom that you've placed in this ant, and Lord, we see there in the way that you have created and designed and caused these ants to live, Lord, there's so much for us to learn. Give us humble hearts, open hearts, Lord, that would learn and be teachable before you, Lord. Father, whatever aspect of what we talked about this morning is relevant to us as individuals, would you strike our hearts with those things? God, if it's about opportunity, Lord, would you open my eyes to see the opportunities I've got today? Lord, if it's about needing each other and working together, Lord, would you help me to really see myself today as part of this body doing your work here in London? God, if it's about my calling and getting on with the job you've given me to do, my responsibility, would you help me to clearly see today what responsibilities you've given me in the home and the workplace and the church and volunteering and whatever it is, Lord, would you open my eyes that I could take seriously these things? And God, if it's about working hard, God, would you impress upon me, Lord, this wonderful picture of ants, no supervisor, no one keeping their eye on them, no one telling them what to do, but responsibly getting on with their jobs. God, would you help me? Lord, we lift our hearts to you today. Father, would you help us? Thank you that we're not individuals, but we're part of this bigger thing. You take us as individuals and knit us together into your body. Thank you, we've got each other. Thank you, we can cooperate. Thank you, we can work together, Lord. Father, would you help us today? Let's just be quiet before the Lord for a moment. Just allow whatever has kind of struck us just to really clarify my heart. I just feel as we're quiet that there's a few of us today where there's opportunities, new opportunities opening up. And to look at those opportunities, to prayerfully bring them before God, and to see, God, what are you saying in these opportunities? And to pray, God, I don't want to miss these opportunities. I don't want to be living in the past or looking forward to the future. Today, I want to live in the opportunities you're giving me today. I believe there's some of us that feel disconnected. We're like an ant wandering around on our own. Don't feel we're part of the colony, as it were. I pray, God, would you help me to really work in with this church, in with others here, to have a heart, a teachable, a together heart. Would you help me to connect? I believe some of us have become discouraged. Like the lawnmowers come or the hose pipes come and washed away the anthill. We think, oh, goodness, I don't want to start rebuilding. I don't want to do that. There's some of us are discouraged and don't feel like persevering. And today we can bring our hearts to God and say, God, would you give me the strength, like Chancer, 3.5, whatever years it is, of persevering. I just believe also there's some of us here today that wish we were someone else, or wish we were like someone else, or had the opportunities that someone else had, or lived where they did, or did what they did, or there's something that's not happy with how God's made us. And I just feel God wants us today to start to take the first step in just thanking him. God, thank you in my circumstances. What we talked about today is very practical, And so I want to kind of leave it there rather than us do anything more, because it's something to take away from this talk today. We're going to have a cup of tea, cup of coffee, spend some time chatting. If you feel like you'd like to pray, then please take the opportunity to pray. If you feel like you'd like to pray, then ask the person next to you, or go and find someone you want to pray with. Otherwise, turn around to the person behind you, say, "Hi, how you doing? What's been happening this week?"